Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and
carriage. Do you like that this is your theme song?
I love it.
Dan, do you like that this is your theme song?
Joe?
Dan?
Hello?
Hey, do you like that this is your theme song?
I was listening to Frankie there. It was really sounding good.
So. He's sounding good on this Monday morning. Well, we're here with Joe and Cindy Farini with their My Marriage Matters segment. We're going to be talking today about an empty nest question from a listener. They said, the kids are gone and it has been a harder adjustment than I ever anticipated. Can you offer any help or direction for my husband and I? We are happily married but trying to adjust to the empty nest. So when we left, my sister Christina and I, who had a harder adjustment, mom or dad, Joe or Cindy?
Joe, you
Cindy
go first.
First.
You go first.
Go first. All right, fine.
You well. Did. No, you did.
Okay. Well, you know, because I've had and always and still have a great relationship with my girls, it was a very, very big adjustment for me. And I'm not ashamed to admit that I missed them terribly when they left.
Aww,
and, but, you know, that's just part of life. Don't go there. But whether or not my adjustment was bigger than Cindy's is really hard to say. I mean, we both had to deal with that reality of our girls being permanently out of the house in our own ways. And although their wedding days was a fun time, a joyous occasion, it was still difficult to realize that they were now permanently leaving our home. And of course, you know, that is one of our main jobs as parents, isn't it, just to let them go. But that's a lot easier said than done. Mm-hmm. I think one of the reasons that we were able to do that confidently was because Cindy and I think we invested in them prior to their marriage, and we were quite confident that, you know, marriage was the right thing for them. So that helped to make the adjustment a lot easier for me when they got married. How about you, Cindy?
Well, I think, probably the harder adjustment for me was when they left for college. And I think it's funny because when Christina left for college, she was all of 7 miles away at BW. And I remember being in the car just sobbing on the way home.
We
were like, I'm like, what is wrong with this picture?
You can like walk over.
But, you know, it's just it wasn't just the fact that she was 7 miles away or 700 miles away. That wouldn't have made the difference. It was that she was it changed. It changes your relationship. I think it can change it in a really good way. But for me, that was the harder part with both of the girls. I think by the time they got married, they were both ready. And so that part felt better to me than the initial leaving home for college.
And I think I could say even Chicago, when I left for Chicago, I think that was harder for you guys.
Yes.
Because that was the farthest away I had been.
Yeah, I agree with that. And there were a lot of unknowns. There was a lot going on at that time too.
Totally.
In your life that made it good to go, but it made it hard to go, but it made it right to go. So there were a lot of factors, I think, in that picture.
So, Dad, as the leader in the family, what one or two things can a man do for his wife and for their marriage to help in the adjustment of the empty nest?
Okay. All right. Well, you know, for us personally, as you know, I mean, the reality is that because we have our special needs son with us, we never truly will be empty nesters as long as he is with us. And for the record, we want him with us for a long time. Mm-hmm. But my recommendation to help the marriage during these empty nest times, I think, is going to revolve around the importance of having good, solid relationships in your life. And the first type of relationship that you need to have built into your life are just good friendships. I know Cindy and I, we really appreciate it when our empty nester friends invite us to do different things, even though they realize the limitations that we have in terms of freedom to just pick up and just go and do things. But this really is one thing that empty nesters should really try doing, and that is to build up and strengthen those old friendships and then to seek out new friendships. And I think this has been really a healthy thing for me and Cindy. The second type of relationship that needs to be worked on is just the romantic relationship with your spouse. And I would recommend to be very proactive in spending more time with your spouse. I mean, if you can, try to get away and have some nice vacations or just some long weekends just together, just the two of you. And, you know, what this will do is you'll just add another layer of romancing each other so that you can begin to, if you will, rekindle that puppy love that you had when you first were dating one another. And finally, the last relationship that needs some focused attention is the spiritual relationship for both you individually and as a couple. And if for me and Cindy, we are blessed because we do a lot of ministry things together, and whether it's speaking together at conferences or writing together articles or books or whatever, we do a lot together. So that has helped us tremendously maintain a real high level of commitment to each other. I think this really has kept us very busy with life, and it has helped us to continually, if you will, to invest in each other individually and as a couple. So I think that's really important to be doing that, especially as you enter into this new season of empty nesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then, Mom, what can the wife do?
Well, I think just to share a little bit there with what Joe just said, you know, to keep busy. One of the things we, Joe and I, have always maintained what I think is a busy lifestyle in ministry, in family, in friendships. We open our home to so many people, and we love that. But I think, you know, for some people maybe who haven't done that, this empty nest might just come as a total surprise with, or just even the idea that the children aren't there to be like, whoa, now what? Now what? Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I did when Christina got married was I took an art class. And I didn't take the class because I thought I was going to become some, you know, big artist or anything like that. But I took it because we had taken all this time to plan the wedding and we were together. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to miss not having something to do in regards to my time. So I thought, I'm going to do something for me. And I took an art class and I loved it. Just loved that part of, you know, sort of something from me and being able to learn something new. So I would urge people to take a class, learn. And one thing too, set boundaries with your children. You know, what boundaries do they want for you in their life? But then also, what boundaries do you want for them to pay attention to in your life too? And then, you know, maybe it's the season to volunteer or, you know, visit a hospital or teach a Sunday school class. What's your gifts? What are your talents? And put those to use. I think that's important. And then I would also say, you know, maybe the house has sort of been neglected because you've been doing kids stuff and young grown-up kids stuff. And maybe it's time to freshen up your bedroom and make the kitchen and the family room, you know, have a little bit more life to it than, you know, maybe what it's had for the last 20, 25 years, if you haven't done anything to it. And just kind of get into the new season, I guess is what I'm saying. Just like you might put out a new pillow, you know, for the fall. Well, do a couple things that will make things change for you too. Mm-hmm. And just realize this is just a season. They, a lot of times they come back too, you know, they do come back. Or Christina and her husband and one son came back, and then she gave birth to the second son while she was at our home. So that boomerang thing does happen too. So,
yeah. Well, it's 7:20 here on Brian and Kathleen Mornings. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation talking about what encouragement you can give other couples who might never have an empty nest, like you guys, who will never truly have an empty nest. So stay tuned for the rest of that conversation coming up after this.
Moody Radio is a listener-supported ministry of Moody Bible Institute. And we would like to express our thanks to Deerfield Farms Service for their financial support. More information about Deerfield Farms Service is available at our website at moodyradio.org/Cleveland.
Here's an interesting thought from Dr. Julie Slattery and Authentic Intimacy.
You should be ashamed of yourself. It's a phrase you may have heard growing up when you hit your younger sister or when you stole a pack of gum from the grocery store. Yet no one had to tell you to be ashamed of yourself for other offenses, particularly related to sexuality. The problem is you can't stop feeling ashamed for what you've done, or perhaps what's been done to you. Even if you look really put together on the outside, the nagging shame reminds you of your past, a past that always seems to define you. For many people, the world of sexuality represents a Gordian knot of shame and guilt that seem to be forever intertwined. It seems impossible to separate the true guilt about things you've done from this sense of forever being tarnished by violation and maybe immoral sexual acts. As a result, many of us who have trusted Christ still live under a cloud of pervasive shame. We feel like second-class Christians, unable to experience the freedom for which Christ died. Satan would love for us to believe that some sins are just too dirty for Christ's blood to fully cleanse. But the truth is, there is nothing beyond the redemptive love of Jesus Christ. There is no shame so great that his sacrifice can't cover. As Paul wrote, there is no condemnation or shame for those who are in Christ Jesus, and nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Believing in Christ for salvation isn't simply about going to heaven. It's the incredible gift of forgiveness from all guilt and shame, not because we've paid our dues, but because Christ has taken our sin upon himself.
Authentic Intimacy has developed a one-of-a-kind Bible study that addresses guilt and shame in sexuality. It's called Passion Pursuit, and you can find it at AuthenticIntimacy.com. Look for Passion Pursuit at AuthenticIntimacy.com.
They'll help you examine current events through the lens of Scripture. It's Brian and Kathleen Mornings on WCRF.
Changeable skies today, high of 69 degrees. It's nice that there's not rain.
Nice.
Hooray.
Yay.
We're talking with Joe and Cindy Ferney for My Marriage Matters segment about empty nesting. We chatted a bit about how you can adjust, who had a harder time adjusting. Actually, who did? You didn't say who had a harder time adjusting.
I think it was, we both did.
Yeah. It's hard to really say that I had a hard time than Cindy did, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. I mean, we both had to kind of deal with this reality in our own way. But it was a reality.
Part of me kind of feels like it was you, Dad.
Okay, fine.
You win.
I'm not going to argue with that one, that's for sure. It was difficult.
I remember, like, once I came home from college, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go hang out with my friends from high school. And you'd be like, okay, come home at 9:30. And I'm like, what? 9:30? I'm not going to go to bed till 1. And you're like, well, come home at 10.
10?
Dad, the movie's not over till 11.
I want to talk.
Yeah, I'll be up waiting. And then Mom would be the one up waiting.
Yeah.
Oh, good times. Here's an inside look to our life, everyone.
That's right.
So what encouragement now can you guys both give to people who may never have an empty nest, people with perhaps special needs children?
Well, let me just first add, I meant to mention this before, but there's a great book by Barbara Rainey and Susan Yates. It's simply called The Empty Nest. And they give you so many great directives of kind of what to do and just great ideas. But I think for those of us who will never have an empty nest, I think we have to have a really good perspective just of what God has given us. You know, we look at Joey and there are times where I'll speak for myself where I don't want to say, it's not jealousy, but I have like this yearning, like, wow, wouldn't it be nice to just pick up and go away for the weekend and it not have to be every time so planned? Or wouldn't it be nice to just go out to dinner or go to the East Side rather than have to get someone to watch Joey for 3 hours or 4 hours? We could go somewhere local for maybe an hour, but not for long. So I think I would say just to have the right perspective of where God has you. You know, we look at Joey as just a great companion in our older years. So that's kind of nice. But the hard part is that not being able to be spontaneous, even inside of our home, to, you know, walk out to the yard or to do different things. You know, we kind of feel like we need to check in with Joey just so that he knows where we're at. So that would be just a couple things. But then I also think just keep your marriage fresh. You know, you get into that routine all the time and it can get boring sometimes, so you have to do things that perk it up. How about you, Joe?
Well, one thing's for sure, I'm never bored with Cindy. That's
I think that's an understatement.
I just kind of piggyback off what she just said there, and that is just we just need to be very intentional about making sure that we never take each other for granted. You know, after your relationship with the Lord, your relationship with your spouse needs to be priority one. And, I mean, that's true for every phase of your marriage, but it's absolutely critical during the empty nest years as well. So stay busy, build those relationships, and enjoy one another.
And if I could throw in my own observation on this, that I've seen you guys grow in as you have empty nests, but also you have Joey, special needs child, for the rest of your life, the rest of his life, is don't be afraid to ask for help. I was really proud of you guys during the move. You said, I am not going to say no to someone who offers help. And I don't think that was always in your nature.
Mm-hmm. I'm much more, I'd rather help.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, oh, I don't want to inconvenience mm-hmm. anyone. It's more about you. How about I come to your place later and I'll make you dinner, mm-hmm. you know? But it's mm-hmm. such a blessing for other people mm-hmm. to serve you too. So I guess that would be my words from the person who made you an empty nester.
That's right.
Is mm-hmm. don't be afraid to ask for help. And then we as the kids love helping too. Yeah. Just as much as you love helping us, we love helping you guys too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
We're blessed. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, great content. That's Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters. We have them here every week. And I must say, too, this past week we were at the Gary Chapman event over in Cleveland Heights. And so many people come up to me at these events and say, I just love listening to your parents through the years. So a big thank you for your years of ministry here at Moody.
You know, we forgot to mention this last month, but we've been doing My Marriage Matters now for 5 years.
Wow, that's
fantastic. We sort of passed up that anniversary, I think, with just everything we were doing, just kind of forgot that it had
happy
been 5 years.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for the privilege of being able to do it here. We love what we get to do.
Well, thank you very much. I feel like Ron has a song. I knew it.
Ron, you are always right on. That's great. Thanks, man.
Happy anniversary, baby.
Thank you.
He is. I love it. Well, thanks so much for your years of service to us. You're a blessing to all those who listen.
You.